We'll be in Psalm 61 this evening. It is a short psalm, only 8 verses. And so we'll begin by reading the psalm. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Again, a psalm of David. And this psalm is entitled a psalm of David, Neginah, instead of Neginoth, as this particular psalm titled is in the singular rather than the plural, so it's Neginah instead of Neginoth, and it refers to the stringed instrument. And we might suppose that David was perhaps sitting somewhere, maybe in his room, in the tabernacle area, or maybe out under the tree, and was strumming or plucking upon his lyre-type harp, and composed these words unto the Lord as he sang them unto the Lord. And so David played upon the stringed instrument often and became a comfort to him and an encouragement to him. Often songs become a comfort to us, especially as Christians as we sing the hymns. I trust you have a favorite hymn. I know in the church in Standish, Maine, which I pastored for 12 to 14 years, about 14 years, I could almost tell you everybody's favorite hymn in the church. I got to know everybody that well that I could tell them, I could tell their favorite hymn. And that's interesting to know when you learn people and their favorite hymns. It tells you something about them and of their love for the Lord. And so David often played and sang unto the Lord. This is called God the Shelter. As we see elements of the shelter here in this particular psalm, as he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Certainly the tabernacle was a shelter unto David, a place of comfort that he might go there and know that the presence of the Lord was there. I trust when you come to church that you sense the presence of the Lord is with us. Perhaps not in the same sense that David did, obviously. The Shekinah glory of God became evident in the holiest of holies. And the presence of God dwelt within the tabernacle in the Old Testament. But I trust when you come together with other believers that you believe God is there with you, with other believers, that you have the fellowship of God as you come together in Christ with other believers, and you take peace and comfort in that, and that in itself is a hope unto us. And the reason why that we love to come together, the reason why that we're told in Hebrews chapter 10 not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. but that we are to exhort one another. And so much the more as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord's return. And so there is a sense that David knew of the shelter of God. He says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. Well, as we look at this psalm, we find that the first thing he says is that I will cry. I will cry. And that's what he does. He says, hear my cry. Well, maybe you cried unto the Lord. Maybe you've called out to God. And you have found in God a comfort and a hope, especially in the midst of difficulties. We all seem to have them at times. There are so many pressures that seem to lay upon our hearts, whether it's our children or our own personal lives or the state of the union, as we might say, the condition of our society and our country or the world, or just the overall pressures of life, which we find that often trouble us. We cry unto God. And it is good to call upon the name of the Lord. And as I was reading this week, one of the things that was pointed out in this psalm is that there is no time that we cannot cry unto the Lord. There is no time that we cannot. That is, in all occasions, in all situations of life, in all circumstances, at every moment, at every time, we can call upon the name of the Lord. Even though we perhaps don't have time for a full discourse, yet our hearts can cry out to God, and we can find comfort and hope in God. And David had opportunity on many occasions to call out to God, and did call out to God, and found himself in the distress of life as he went up against his adversaries, and as he found Saul pursuing him, and as he found Absalom rebelling against him, and the Philistines or the Ammonites or the Moabites and all of the various other peoples around him who would have wanted him to be exterminated. He found many reasons to call upon God, to say nothing about his own personal failings, which he became so acutely aware of, his own personal sins in his life. If it were not enough for those to put a pressure upon him, he had the weight and the burden of the nation and of the anointing of God and of what was expected of him. Perhaps you have felt like there's a lot expected of you. Perhaps you have said, well, there's so many people wanting things from me. I don't know what I can do. And each of us have those kinds of things at times which seem to bear upon us, and we don't know just how to handle them all the time. And sometimes we would like to escape it. We'd just like to say, well, I want to run away for a while. I'd like to find someplace else to be. I'd like to know somewhere where somebody didn't expect something from me. And you see, there's all those kinds of pressures, and David felt those kinds of pressures. Just because he was living in a different period of time does not mean he did not feel the sense of these things that we're talking about right now. And he cried unto God, and he made his resolution unto God. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. You see, when we cry unto God, we do ask him to attend unto our prayer. And we don't know just what he will do or how he will answer, but we do know that we must come to him, that we must ask of him, we must make petition to him, we must plead and pray and ask for his mercies and pray for his grace. These things are very much upon our hearts, and they was upon David's heart. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so look at the second verse. Look how he continues to enlarge upon this thought. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Anywhere, everywhere. I mean, in all of his sojourn, in all of his travels, as much as he was driven from one place to another, he knew that he could call upon God, and he would not abandon this need to cry upon God, to cry to him, because he knew that God was with him. Now, we can say what we might about the situations and circumstances of our life, but if we hold that one thing in our hearts, it will be a great stay for us. Because whether you travel one place or another, or whatever might occur in your life, if you have this thought, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. You see, things overwhelm us. Things sometimes become too much for us to bear. And sometimes they are the things that we have to do every single day. Sometimes they are the things that we can't get away from that overwhelm us. Sometimes they're the things that are just plain expected of us, and we don't know how to somehow get ourselves out of what is expected of us. And those things overwhelm us. What about the emergency that comes up? You know, what about the situation that Norma is in and she feels it? You know, how that she becomes overwhelmed. Well, how many others have felt the same thing? You see, how many times have we come to that place where our loved ones are in terrible situation and we feel overwhelmed? And what does David say? He says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to that elevation in my life, in my heart, in my relationship with you, God, that is higher than myself. You know, we consider ourselves, I mean, we become somewhat of an island. But we find that many times our island is overwhelmed. It is overrun with cares. It is swamped, as it were, by a great flood. And we need the solid rock of our salvation. We need Christ. We need God. And we need to find that place where God is. And God lifts us up and strengthens us. And he becomes that shelter for us. You see, we need that. And David needed that. And he made this oath, if you will, this commitment to God. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Secondly, we find in verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. So we find that David says, I will cry unto the Lord, but also he says, I will abide. You know, as much as we need to come to God and just kind of pour out our hearts to God, we need to also realize that we need to abide with him. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It's important that we abide. And so David recognized God, that he was his high point in life. If I can just get to the place where I am really trusting in God, then I know God is my fortitude, my true faith, my high point, my real rock, the elevation in my life where I will be true and kept strong. And he is my shelter, verse 3. And he is my strong tower from the enemy. You see, all of those areas of strength and fortitude and faith and preservation are in God. But then he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle. So verse 1, I will cry unto God. Then he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle. See, there's no better place to be than to abide in Christ. No better place. We might abide with friends. We might abide in our home. We might abide in some sense of comfort. and pleasant things of our surroundings, but none of those will satisfy us or really satisfy the need that we have except to abide in God. To abide in God. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. See, the tabernacle was where the presence of God was. You know, maybe when you had problems, you didn't know what to do. What did you do? You went to prayer. What is that? But it is to find God. It is to abide in God. It is to find that comfort and hope and peace and answer to life that you're looking for. And why do you go to him at all but of your true relationship to him? You see, David had a true relationship to God. Out on the hillside, when he was called as a young boy from the shepherd pasture, he found that God was near unto him. When he picked up the 5 stones from the brook bed and stood against the giant of the Philistines, he found that God was with him. When he found himself being anointed and called to be a king over Israel, and though all of his enemies sought to destroy him at the time, even those that he thought to be his friends, still he had to abide with God. And so the presence of God is something that we must and have and need to have in our lives. He says, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And as we trust in the covert of the wings, and we might immediately think of the analogy of the tabernacle having within it the Ark of the Covenant. And upon the Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And upon the mercy seat were 2 angels with their wings extended forward, touching one another, as if to cover the top of the mercy seat, where the presence of God was. And this metaphor kind of helps us to understand, perhaps, why David wanted to be in the tabernacle, where the presence of God dwelt, where the covering of God was upon him. Would any dare to enter in while he was physically there? No. And of course, metaphorically, David would want God to cover him at all times in life. Even if he wasn't physically in the tabernacle, was the anointed of God upon him? Yes. Could he count on God being there for him in every circumstance and situation of life? Yes. Was he still being covered by the covert of the wings of God at those times when he was outside of the tabernacle and in various elements of danger? Yes. We can too. We can rely upon God's covering over us. In fact, the covering of God seems to be so important that, in a sense, it's like a sanctification of our lives. That our lives are sanctified in Christ. And that sanctification is a covering upon us. As long as we are walking in that grace and mercy of God, we find that sanctification, that practical aspect of the sanctification of God is active in our lives, in our homes, over our families, over our spouses, over our relationship. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that sanctifying covering of God is with us in our homes, in our lives, while we are living and walking and in faith and seeking to honor God. You know, that covering is there. David knew it. I will abide in thy tabernacle, forever I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And so in verse 5 he says, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Have you made a vow to God? Did you call upon him at any time? Did you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you make a vow of faith to follow him? I have decided to follow Jesus. Have you done that, you see? And is that still in effect? Yeah. And I think many times we come back to that vow and we rehearse it in our hearts over and over again, because we know how important it is to follow the Lord. As a disciple of Christ, as a servant of God, as one who is called of God and sanctified in Christ Jesus, we are to keep the vows we have made to God. We're to keep them. And so this was also a very important thing for God, for David to say, because we know that it was important to him in his relationship to God. And he seemed to say as well that this was an heritage to him of those that fear thy name. Well, we do sing Faith of Our Fathers Living Still. We do sing of those who have gone before us, the heritage of those who have also walked in faith, even as we have walked in faith. And we find that David wanted to walk in the way of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. David wanted to walk even as his forefathers walked and lived. And of course, we should want to do the same, because we find that we often get much encouragement from that relationship that we have to Christ. And so he says, I will abide in thy tabernacle. Next, thou will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. Verse 6. And so he counted this as a blessing that God would do for him, to prolong the king's life, to bless him, and to be with him throughout his years or generations to which he lived. In verse 7, he shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, that which may preserve him. In verse 7, we know that David is a type of Christ. Why is he a type of Christ? Because the lineage of David would bring forth the true Christ, the Son of God. In Christ, this verse becomes true. It's fulfilled in Christ. David obviously only lived the lifespan which God gave him. And he wouldn't be living any longer. But we find that Christ now could fulfill this very verse. He shall abide before God forever, O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. And as we know, Christ does sit at the right hand of the Father even now, and he is the eternal Son of God. And so we can see here some messianic hope that David had in that which God promised to bless him with. What blessing was it? Well, his throne would be forever. The throne of David would be forever. Jesus Christ would be the fulfillment of that very promise. And then lastly, he says, I will sing praise unto thee. And so he says, I will cry unto thee. He says that. I will abide in thy tabernacle, verse 4. And now, thirdly, I will sing praise unto thy name forever. Well, see, this is what David was actually doing. He wrote the Psalms, and he did play them upon his stringed instrument, and he did lift up his voice in praise to God. When we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. When we draw nigh to God, he gives us words to speak and to sing. Whether we speak them in prayer or sing them in prose, we find that they become the reflection of our trust and hope and shelter and blessing, which is alone in God. It's not in ourselves. We come to the end of ourselves very quickly, but not God. Not God. And so David sang unto God, I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. It is good to have a song in our hearts as we get up, as we go to bed, as we travel along the way. It is good to have a song in our hearts. It will help us, it will help you to keep your word by living out your praises to God. As you see God fulfill those very things in your life which you are asking him for. And so he did sing unto the Lord, and he did give blessing unto the Lord. It is said that we ought not to leap in prayer and limp in praise. We ought not to leap in prayer and limp in praise. We ought to then leap in prayer and jump in praise, if you will, or triumph in praise. So we ought to praise God all at all times with a song in our hearts. Let us bow together. Loving Father, thank you for your word to us tonight. Lord, may it be an encouragement to us to read the scriptures, to read the Psalms, to realize of the blessings which you give to us, to realize of the privilege that we have to come before you, to realize of how you comfort us and give us hope for today, for tomorrow, and for eternity. Lord, bless, we ask. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.